to be in God's house. Every time I get a chance to stand and minister the word of the Lord, I count it a great honor and a great joy. What a great opportunity to worship God. I'm thankful for the presence of God this morning. Amen. And that when we worship Him, and what a great job the praise team did this morning, just leading us into His presence and an opportunity just to celebrate who Jesus is. Well, I want to just start out by just saying thank you to Pastor Scott and Don. And I don't know if you guys know this, but you have some of the best leading the charge here in Michigan. And they are an amazing couple. And Kelly and I, we count it a great honor to call them our friends and to be in relationship with them and be in ministry together and just serving God together. And so, Pastor Scott, Don, we love y'all. Thank you very much. And what a great work you guys are doing. We've had a great time being here this weekend. We came in Friday night and spent a little time Friday night and half a day yesterday talking a little bit about implementing systems and just kind of taking those next steps and some good things that God is doing. And I just want to encourage you this morning, as I have been looking and talking and kind of preaching through even a little bit yesterday, the vision of this church, God has given you a mandate from heaven. There is a clear vision for this church, and there is a mission that God has called you to accomplish. And I want to encourage you to know, I shared it yesterday, that if you will just do what God's called you to do, you will change this city. Hastings, Michigan will be forever changed by the power of God if you will just embrace fully what God has called this church to do. And what an exciting opportunity it is, and what it is to be a part of a place where people love each other. And I was telling Pastor Scott this morning as we were standing out front, there is a genuine love and compassion for people that you experience when you walk in here. And you guys are truly exemplifying the love of Jesus, and it's very genuine and very real. And I want to commend you for just letting the light of Christ and the love of God shine through your hearts as you just welcome people into the house of the Lord. And I'm believing, I know as you are, that God's going to fill this house, amen? And He's going to fill this house, and that this church is going to continue to grow and reach this community. And just the things you're already doing and the things you're planning on doing, just a great work. And so, Pastor Scott, thank you for letting us be a part of it. Well, this morning, I'm going to let you, if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to share with you a message, and hopefully I think everybody maybe got a outline when you came in this morning. Several years ago, I was praying and I was asking the Lord, I said, God, what can I do to help more effectively communicate the gospel? And how can I help our people to not only hear but retain the word of the Lord and let it become more life-giving in their hearts? And the Lord very quickly spoke to me and He said, I want you to start doing an outline where people can actually take home some notes from your sermon and have scripture references and those types of things. And I remember being very busy and very overwhelmed with life and ministry, and I remember saying, okay, God, what else can I do? You know, because that's just going to take too much time. But many years ago, we started doing that, and it's really just become a part of kind of how we minister. And the Lord really quickened in my heart that if we can help people hear the Word, help people see the Word, and then help people write the Word, then hopefully we can help people remember the Word. Amen? And we can begin to get the Word of God stirred up in our hearts. And how many know God's Word changes everything? When you allow the Word of God to speak to your life, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you allow the Word of God to really begin to speak, and I pray today that God's going to stir up faith in your heart, that you're going to receive faith this morning to literally grab hold of what God has for your life. And so this morning I want to talk to you about a message simply entitled Increasing Your Authority and Changing Your Life. And if you've ever thought about this thought for just a minute, probably one of the most frustrating things in life is desiring to see change but lacking the authority or the ability to make it happen. That's probably one of the most frustrating things in life, desiring to see change but seemingly lacking the authority or the ability to see that change become a reality in your life. And so this morning we're going to talk about how we can increase our authority, how we can begin to walk in a greater level of authority, and by doing so we can begin to see the radical supernatural things that God wants to do. How many know God's not done yet? Amen? He's not done with you. He's not done with me. When I think about my life, I think about that little children's song, right? He's still working on me. And I'm just telling you right now, I've been pastoring for about a little over 24 years I've been pastoring. And it's been a great journey, and it's just been a great joy my beautiful wife who is here on the front row, Miss Kelly. We've been married for 25 years, and we are excited about what God is doing. But I can just tell you right now, God's still working on me. There's some things God is continually doing in my heart, in my life. And I just believe this. I believe there is so much more that God wants to do that we have not yet begun to fathom the power and the purpose that God really wants to accomplish and perfect in our hearts and our lives. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able, right, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that is at work within us. And so there is a power, right? There is a supernatural power. How many know that we are a part of a Spirit-filled church? Amen. How many glad the Spirit of God is here and alive and moving in our midst? And there is the power of God, the Holy Spirit in our life, is wanting to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And that's a pretty big thought right there, because I can dream some pretty big dreams. How about you, Pastor Scott? There are some things I can stir up in my mind, and I can just begin to envision some things. And the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. And I want to just encourage you today. We're going to talk about how we can begin to elevate, increase our authority, and begin not only to change our lives, but begin to become a catalyst of change through which God begins to change our world. How many of you know that all it really takes in one family is one person to get born again? And when that one person gets born again and they begin to follow hard after Jesus, there is, without a doubt, a chain reaction that begins to happen, because one heart that is changed possesses the power of God to become a seed in a family that can transform a community for the glory of God. I know Pastor Carl, Miss Dawn come and minister here pretty regular, and they were at our church just last month in April, and they were ministering, and they're Miss Dawn's sister, her and her husband, and Brother Carl, Miss Dawn's niece and nephew attend our church, and we got to spend a little time with them, and we're just sitting around the dinner table, and maybe Pastor Carl shared this, but their whole family came to the Lord because Brother Carl got saved. And out of one salvation came a transformation of an entire generation. And now there is a living legacy that's happening as the glory of God is being passed on from one generation to another generation. And so I want to encourage you today, as we understand that as we increase our authority, we can experience the transformation of God in our lives. But out of that changed heart comes a transformation that begins to spread out into our family, into our community, and ultimately into our world. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25. I believe they've got it on the screen for us there. Matthew 25, it's the parable of the talents. The Bible says, "And the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. And he called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' And his Lord said to him," I want you to see this statement, "'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And also he who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid." I want you to highlight that in your mind right now. He said, "And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Look at verse 29. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. I want you to look at that first point on your outline. They're going to put it on the screen for us. Here's a thought I want you to see today. Responsibility produces authority. We increase our authority by taking responsibility over the things that God has entrusted to us. Responsibility produces authority. How do I increase my authority? How do I begin to walk in a greater level of authority in my family, in my community, in my own spiritual life? Here's how you do it. You start taking responsibility for the things that God has given you. Now, when you think about the story of the talents, one man had been given five talents, one man two, one man one. And the Bible says this, so the man with five and the man with two. The Bible says they took those and they multiplied them. And they brought them back to the master. And the master said this. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things." And look what he said. "I will make you ruler over many things." What happened? Something happened as a result of what they did with what God gave them. Their responsibility produced a greater authority. God said, "Because you've been faithful with the little that I've given you, I'm now going to make you ruler over many things." And I want to just encourage you in a simple thought this morning, that if you want to see the level of your authority go to a new level, you've got to increase the level of responsibility that you take for your life. Because when we begin to take responsibility over what God has entrusted to us, our faithfulness and our responsibility over those things entrusted to us automatically begins to produce an authority. And I want you to understand something that you already know this morning. How many of you realize God does not give authority to people who don't take responsibility? God does not give authority to people who don't take responsibility. But the flip of that coin is true also. God gives greater authority to those who do take responsibility. And so if you want to increase your authority, your ability to operate in what God has called you to do, we do that by simply beginning to take responsibility over what God has entrusted to us. Now, what's interesting about the story, one guy got five, one guy got two, and one guy got one. And the Bible says each man was entrusted according to their own ability. I want you to understand that God has given you responsibility over the things that you are capable of handling. Many times, we're like the servant with the one talent. The Bible says that he took his one talent and he went and he dug a hole in the ground and he buried it. And the Bible says the reason he did that is he told his master, "I was afraid." Many times the thing that causes people to step back from responsibility is fear. Have you ever thought about doing something? Have you ever had maybe a hard task that you had to do, or maybe you had to confront somebody, or maybe you had to work through a difficult issue on the job, and you were thinking about that thing, and the more you thought about it, the more difficult it got? You ever had that? And all of a sudden, this thing gets built up in your mind and built up in your mind. And before you know it, if we're not careful, we will become so overwhelmed in our mind by thinking about the things we have to do. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes just thinking about raising the kids and paying the bills can be overwhelming. Sometimes just thinking about the fact that I got to get up and go to work, and I got to come home and I got to do this, and then I'm serving at the church, and I got to be at the ball field over here, and I've got to take care of all these responsibilities. And if we're not careful, we will allow fear. Fear of failure, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being accomplishing the task. We will allow fear to cause us to step back from our responsibility. And the moment you step back from your responsibility, guess what happens? You lose your authority. When you step back from responsibility, you lose your authority and you lose the power to see real change happen in your life. And so I want you to think about for just a minute how many times in our lives that we as Christians relinquish responsibility. Every time you say the word, "I can't," every time you say the word, "I can't," you are relinquishing responsibility. Think about it for just a minute. We make little statements like this. "Well, I can't lose weight. I can't get out of debt. I can't understand the Bible. I can't share my faith. I can't be a small group leader," right? I can't handle my kids. I can't seem to get on the same page with my spouse. I just can't. And every time you say, "I can't," you know what you're doing? You are relinquishing responsibility. You're saying, "This is beyond my ability to do the thing that has been entrusted me to do." How many know if you got kids, God's given you responsibility, but God has also given you authority? If you got a job, God's given you responsibility, and He's also given you authority. If you have relationships, God has given you responsibility, and He's also given you authority. And so you need to understand that in your life, every time you say, I can't, what are you doing? You are relinquishing your responsibility. And the moment you relinquish your responsibility, you lose your authority and your ability to take power over that thing and see change happen in your life. Have you ever seen a parent with maybe a small child and they make this say, I just can't seem to keep them under control. And they're just like little terrors. I know y'all may not have. We have holy terrors in Arab, Alabama. You know, we have little two-year-olds that run the home, right? And this little kid is just bringing havoc and chaos everywhere he goes. And this 40-year-old man says, I can't control my two-year-old son. You know what he just did? He just relinquished his responsibility. And the moment he relinquished his responsibility, you know what he lost? He lost authority. And the reason he has no authority is because he has relinquished responsibility. And all of a sudden, his home is out of order, and his child is a terror, and crazy things are happening in his family, not because he don't have authority, but because he's relinquished responsibility. He has now displaced himself from the authority that he needs to bring real change into his family. The moment that daddy says, I can control that boy, you know what happens? Authority comes. The moment you say, I can control my finances, well, I just can't seem to pay all the bills. I just can't get out of debt. I can't work a budget. The moment you say, I'm going to take responsibility for my finances, you know what will happen? You'll begin to find out God's actually given you authority to handle your money. God's given you authority to work a budget. But you will never find that authority. You will never increase your authority. You will never tap into the power of God that is available for me and you in every area of our life unless we begin to take responsibility for what's been given to us. So let me give you a scripture. So the book of Nehemiah, just a great little story in scripture. It says, I'm just going to read it to you off the screen. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. In late autumn in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year of King Xerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going well for those who have returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace, and the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And Nehemiah says, and when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed to the God of heaven. Look at this next scripture. Verse 11, now what I just skipped because we don't have time, is Nehemiah then begins to pray. And in the next few verses, Nehemiah cries out to God. And you know what Nehemiah does? Nehemiah takes responsibility. He makes a crazy statement like this. He says, Lord, we have sinned, me and my fathers. Now Jerusalem at this point had already laid in ruins for 120 years. There had been 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and now 50 years had already passed since that 70 years of captivity had ended, and the walls of Jerusalem still laid in ruins. Nehemiah wasn't even alive when these things were happening. But you know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah saw the condition of his nation. He heard about the state of his city, and it broke the heart of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah took responsibility for the condition of his nation. Sounds like something needs to happen in America. Nehemiah took responsibility for the condition of his nation, and he began to fast and pray and intercede. Let me tell you a good thought right here. The things that you have really taken responsibility for are the things that you pray about. The things that you have really taken responsibility for are the things that you pray about. Now, let me just tell you what most Christians, at least in Arab, Alabama, pray about. They pray about their family and their finances. Lord, bless my kids and help us pay the bills. And that sums up 90% of most of the prayers that rise up from the hearts of most Christians. Let's bless my family and meet my needs, God. Bless my family and meet my needs, God. And we wonder why our nation is in a place where now we're having to fight our president over transgender bathrooms. I want to tell you why. Because the church has relinquished its responsibility. We have relinquished our responsibility over the condition of this nation. We have said it's the politician's job. It's the White House's job. It's the governor's job. It's the city council's job. I want to tell you something. It's our job. We are responsible for the spiritual condition of our nation. If America is going to turn or if America is going to burn, it's going to be determined by whether the church rises up and says, I'm going to take responsibility for my nation. The walls have been torn down and our nation lies in ruins. And somebody has got to take responsibility. Now, what's interesting about the story of Nehemiah is nowhere in the story of Nehemiah do we find out that Nehemiah ever had an angelic visitation from God telling him to rebuild the walls. Nowhere in the story of Nehemiah do we find out that God ever spoke to Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not have a burning bush experience. Nehemiah did not have an angelic visitation. You know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah did not get a quote, direct word from God. You know what Nehemiah did? He just simply heard of the condition of his nation, and Nehemiah took responsibility. He said, you know what? Nobody else is doing anything. I'm going to do something. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to begin to fast. I'm going to begin to stand in the gap. And not only did he pray and he fasted, but the Bible says he went to the king, verse 11. And he said, oh Lord, please hear my prayer and listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. And please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me and put it into his heart to be kind to me, because in those days I was the king's cupbearer. You know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah took responsibility to such a degree that he went before the king, and when opportunity arose, he spoke up on behalf of his nation. And here's what's amazing. God took a pagan king and used him to bless and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Not only did the king give him a release from his job to go return to his city, but he also gave him letters giving him permission to get lumber and timber and supplies to rebuild the walls. Let me show you what happened. Think about it. What happened? When Nehemiah took responsibility, guess what God gave him? Authority. The moment he took... Now think about it. He had been the king cupbearer for how many years? I don't know, many years. He had been going in and out of the presence of the king, in and out of the presence of the king, in and out of the presence of the king. And he had no authority, he had no power, he had no prestige. But the moment he took responsibility for a nation, God gave him authority. God gave him favor. God gave him letters to take to those people that he was going to go to and say, you know what, we've got the king's permission and we've got his blessing over what we are about to do. And the Bible tells us that in 52 days, think about this, 52 days they rebuilt the walls. 52 days. The walls had lied in ruins for 120 years, 70 years in Babylonian captivity, and for 50 years the Jews had been returning, and nobody had ever taken the responsibility. So they say, you know what? We need to rebuild the walls. We need to begin to fight for our city again. We need to begin to reclaim what God has given us. We need to begin to stand up and be a nation again. And finally, after 120 years, Nehemiah took responsibility, and God gave him authority. And in 52 days, what had lied in ruins for 120 years, God rebuilt the walls. And the enemies of God were astounded at how could this happen so quickly. I believe God can do a quick work in America. I believe God can restore a nation. I believe God can rebuild a nation. I believe God can take everything that the enemy meant for evil and use it for good if the church will take responsibility for our nation. It's not the White House, it is the church house that is responsible for the condition of our nation. If America lies in ruins, it lies in ruins because the church has relinquished its responsibility and given authority to those who don't deserve it. Let's look at that next thought on your outline. You will never have authority over something you refuse to take responsibility for. You will never have authority over something you refuse to take responsibility for. As long as you shift responsibility from yourself, you will always lack the authority to change your life. Those who neglect their responsibilities forfeit their authority. And right now in our nation, we have our government, we have our president, we have people taking authority because the church has relinquished responsibility. But it's not just our nation. It's in our families. It's in our homes. It's in our churches. As long as you shift responsibility from yourself, you will always lack the authority to change. I want you to think about this. Every time you blame someone else for the condition of your life, you are shifting responsibility. Well, I would have been successful if my parents hadn't have done what they did. Right? I would have got the promotion, but my boss was against me. Right? We would have been out of debt, but my wife don't know how to handle money. Right? We would have a happy family, but my son, he just can't seem to get it together. I would be serving Jesus with all my heart, but you know what? There's just so many distractions out there, and the pull of this world is just so strong. And I want to serve God, but I'm not serving God because the pull of the world is just too great. As long as you blame someone, something, anything, the thing that you blame on others is an indicator that you have now shifted responsibility from yourself. I'm going to talk about three ways we can increase our authority today. Three ways. I believe it's the next screen. Three ways we can increase our authority. Actually, let's back up. I want to read that Mark chapter 1 if I can. Let me give you this, and then we're going to talk about three ways. Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, and they were astounded at His teaching, Jesus' teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I used to read that scripture and I used to think, well, the reason Jesus taught him was with authority because he was the Son of God. But if you know anything about good theology, you understand Jesus was all God, but he was all man. But Jesus operated in his humanity, not his divinity. Because he is supposed to be the first fruits of the resurrection so that he can be an example of what I can be. I'm not divine. So if Jesus did what he did because he was the Son of God, I can't do that because I'm not the only begotten Son of God. But if Jesus did what he did because he was a man empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can do that. Right? I can do that. And as a matter of fact, Jesus expects me to do what he did. Do you remember what he said? He said, not only will you do what I did, but greater works will you do than I did because I go to the Father to intercede for you. Jesus not only expects us to do what he did, he expects us to do greater works than he did because he's now in heaven interceding at the right hand of God the Father. So understand this. When the crowds heard Jesus, the Bible says they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Let me tell you why Jesus had authority. He had authority because he took responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the people God entrusted to him. Now, when you listen to Jesus talk about the scribes and Pharisees, this is what he said. He said, the scribes and Pharisees, excuse me, they sit in Moses' seat. What does that mean? It means they were in a position of authority. He said, they sit in Moses' seat, and because they sit in Moses' seat, this is what Jesus said. He said, do whatever they tell you to do. But then he says this, but don't do what they do. Do whatever they tell you to do because they're an authority, but don't do what they do. And then Jesus goes on to say that the scribes and the Pharisees would lay heavy burdens on men's backs and he wouldn't even lift one finger to lift it. He said they would wear their long robes and they would seek the utmost seat in the synagogue and they wanted the greetings in the marketplace. And he goes on to say that everything they did for the praise of men. And Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do because they have, I want you to see this, the scribes and Pharisees who were supposed to be the religious leaders, who were supposed to be the caretakers of the flock of God, you know what they did? They relinquished their responsibility. They stopped caring about the people and it all became about them. And then here comes Jesus, right? Jesus, no position of authority. He's the son of a carpenter. He's Jesus of Nazareth. No position of authority, no high religious schooling or degree, no doctorate before his name. Nobody saying master and rabbi. Nobody acknowledging him as this great anything. And here comes Jesus on the scene after the baptism of John. And Jesus begins to preach and to teach and to heal and to minister. And all of a sudden the Bible says they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Why? Because he taught them with authority. The reason Jesus had authority is because he took responsibility for what God had called him to do. Jesus knew that God had called him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus knew that God had called him for 3.5 years to go about, the Bible says, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy. Jesus knew that he had been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he ultimately knew he had been called to go to a cross, die on the cross for the sins of the world, and on the third day triumphantly rise again. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus took responsibility. The Bible says when the time of his crucifixion drew near, the scripture says Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Why? Because Jesus took responsibility. He knew what he had been called to do, and he said, I'm going to do what God's called me to do regardless. Regardless if they accept me, regardless if they reject me, regardless if they applaud me, or regardless if they crucify me, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to be responsible. And because he took responsibility over what God had commissioned him to do, all of a sudden there was a great authority. He spoke, walked, taught, and ministered with authority. I want to say to you, I just want to propose a little simple idea. I believe the body of Christ would begin to walk in signs and wonders and miracles if we would just start taking authority for the spiritual responsibility that God has given us to care for and reach our city for Christ. What would happen if every person in this room began to look at the people you work with and the people in your family and the people that are in your circle of influence? And what if every person in this room began to say, you know what, God, I'm going to take responsibility. I can't be responsible for the choices they make, but I'm going to take responsibility over the fact that they're going to at least hear and know who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I am a debtor to all men. A debtor. And this is what he said he owed every man. He said, here's my debt. I owe every man the gospel. Every man I owe Jesus. And I want to just say to you today, I believe there is a whole new level of authority that I need to walk in, that you need to walk in, that God is calling the church to, that we begin to take responsibility for the people in our circle of influence. I'm not talking about people you've never met. I'm not talking about people you don't. I'm talking about the people you work with 40 hours a week. What would happen if you begin to take responsibility over the fact, not that they would accept Christ, because that's a decision they have to make, but that they would at least have an opportunity to accept Him, and to know who He is, and to see the light of Christ manifested in your world? What if you took responsibility to the point that you begin to pray and intercede on a daily basis, not just for your family or your finances, but for the soul of that person that you're working with 40 hours a week? What if instead of griping about working by an unbeliever, you started thanking God for the opportunity to shine a light in the darkness and bring that person to know Jesus? Man, I think things would change. All because we simply take responsibility. So let me give you three ways to increase your authority. The first way is, number one, take responsibility for your life. And I put it three ways. Take responsibility for your attitude, for your actions, and for your decisions. If you want to increase the level of authority you walk in your own personal life, begin to take responsibility for your attitude, your actions, and your decisions. Now think about this. Think about how we blame others for these things. I mean, think about it for a minute. I was in a good mood till I got home. Right? I was in a good mood till I got to work. I was in a good mood till I saw you, you know. I mean, think about it. Don't we blame other people for our attitude? Don't we blame other people for our lack of joy or our lack of peace? Well, I had all kinds of peace, so I got home. Then you started talking. My kids, I was in a good mood until I got home and had to deal with all the kids. I was in a good mood until I sat down and looked at all the bills. Think about it. How many times do we shift our responsibility? How many times do we blame others for our bad attitude? How many times do we blame others for our actions? Well, I wouldn't act that way if you didn't do what you did. Right? I wouldn't act that way. I wouldn't say that stuff. I wouldn't do those things. It's all because if you would just act right, I would act right too. Come on, get your act together. Don't we do it? I mean, isn't it crazy? And you know what happens? Nothing ever changes. And the reason nothing ever changes is because you have shifted responsibility. As long as I expect you to act right before I act right, then I'm off the hook. Right? I'm not responsible. My attitude, my actions, and my decisions are all based upon how Pastor Scott responds to me. And if Pastor Scott responds to me appropriately, then he gets an appropriate reaction. If he responds inappropriately, he gets an inappropriate reaction. And it's all his fault. Well, I'd have peace, but you know what? I work with a bunch of unbelievers and they're just cussing and ranting and raving all the time. I can't even have peace on my job. Blame, blame, blame. Shift, shift, shift. And every time you shift responsibility, you lose authority. You no longer have the power to have peace. You no longer have the power to have joy. You no longer have the power to walk in joy and love and happiness. Why? Because you've done shifted responsibility and you lost your authority. And you actually gave authority to that person. When you forfeit your responsibility, you give other people authority. And let me just tell you something. They will be glad to control your joy. They will be glad to control your peace. Right? They'll be glad to. They'll actually find out they can do it, and they'll on purpose rob you of joy and peace. They'll see you come in happy, and they'll think, man, I'm going to say something to him. Right? And they get pleasure. They get pleasure out of robbing you of your joy and your peace. And the reality is you are responsible for your attitude, for your decisions, for your actions. And the moment you begin to take responsibility for those things, there is an empowerment from God. The Holy Spirit breathes fresh breath on you. There is a fresh breath of God that is breathed over your life. And all of a sudden you find out, I don't have to lose my joy. I don't have to lose my peace. I don't have to lose my focus. I don't have to lose any of those. It's not your fault. I'm responsible. And I'm going to take responsibility for my attitude, my actions, and my decisions. And I'm going to walk in joy. And I'm going to walk in peace. And I'm going to walk in grace, because those are God's gifts to me. I'm responsible. Let me give you Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. So Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, to those who have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from Him. So he's really talking to believers here. This is what he says: throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Throw it off. Look what he says. You're responsible. If you'll take responsibility for how you act, you can throw off your former way of living. Well, every time I drink because I get stressed out. If the world was just a little peaceful, I wouldn't have to drink. See, how many times are we holding on to stuff that we could throw away? We could throw off our old way of living if we would just take responsibility and begin to walk in the authority that God has given us through Christ. Look what he says. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit. I'm responsible. Right? I can grieve the Spirit. I can quench the Spirit. Or I can let the Spirit. Look what it says. Renew my thoughts and my attitudes. I can let the Holy Spirit renew my thoughts and my attitudes if I will take responsibility for what I'm thinking. Right? Joyce Meyer says you've got to think about what you're thinking about. Pastor Scott says that too. I was listening to him this week. Your thoughts are really important, aren't they? That soulless realm is really important. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guess who's responsible for that? You are. If your mind is not renewed, it's not God's fault. It's not Pastor Scott's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not the television's fault. It's your fault. The unrenewed parts of your mind are parts that you have relinquished responsibility over. You are as renewed as you take responsibility to be. Good preaching, Pastor Keith. Thank y'all. I appreciate that. Amen. You are as renewed as you take responsibility to be. You're responsible. Now see, all of a sudden, amazing things happen. When you remove the blame game, when you stop shifting responsibility and you start taking responsibility, all of a sudden there is an authority, there is a power, there is an enablement, there is an equipping of the Holy Spirit that begins to operate in your life, and you start walking in things you've never walked in before simply because you said, I'm responsible for how I think and I'm responsible for the attitudes of my mind. Let's read on. He says, and put on your new nature. You got to put it on, right? Doesn't automatically happen, right? You are responsible. How many of you actually got up this morning and put on clothes? Everybody, praise God. That's a good thing, right? They didn't put them on themselves. You had to put them on. You had to take responsibility. This is what I'm going to wear today. This is what I'm going to put on today. Some of you ladies may have changed 3 or 4 times, but you finally decided, this is what I'm going to wear, right? You've got to decide. You are responsible to put on not only your natural clothes, but you're responsible to put on the new nature that we have in Christ. It is available to us. It is laid out for us. It has already been paid for, purchased, and made available. All we have to do is take responsibility for the fact that I've got to put it on. Look what he says. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We were created to be like God. Amen? Look at verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Stop telling lies. How many know you're responsible for every word you speak? You're responsible for your words. Jesus went so far as to say that on the day of judgment, you're going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. You are responsible for what's coming out of your mouth. Well, I just can't control it. Yes, you can. See, as long as you say, I can't control my tongue, you'll never control it. But when you say, by the Holy Spirit's power, I take responsibility over the words of my mouth, you know what will happen? Bam! You'll have a supernatural bridle put over your tongue. You will. I'm just telling you. You will have a supernatural bridle put over your tongue when you say, I am responsible for every idle word that comes out of my mouth. It's not okay for me to be hateful, cruel, and mean. It's not okay for me to be sarcastic and tear other people down. It's not okay for me to lie or gossip or backbite behind somebody else's mouth. I am responsible for my words. And when you take responsibility, God gives you authority. There's a spiritual bridle God will put over your tongue if you'll just take responsibility for the words of your mouth. Verse 26, and don't sin by letting anger control you. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. You're responsible for your emotions. King James says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, I wouldn't get angry if they didn't do that. How many know it's okay to feel angry? We can be angry and sin not. Right? We can be angry and sin not. Well, the reason I lose my temper all the time, Pastor Keith, is because I'm redheaded. No, that's not why you lose your temper. You lose your temper because you haven't taken responsibility for your actions. Right? We have grown men pitching fits in their homes. Every time they don't get their way, they get mad and they throw things and break things and scream and yell and act like little 2-year-old babies pitching a tantrum. Why in the world are those 40-year-old men, 50-year-old men, 60-year-old men doing those things? Because they have not taken responsibility for their emotions. You're responsible. And here's the good news. You take responsibility, you know what happens? God gives you authority. God gives you authority. He goes on and says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and give generously to others in need. Do not use foul language or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words can be an encouragement to those who hear them. I had a gentleman tell me one time, he was about 60-something years old when he got saved. And he cussed like a sailor his whole life. And he got saved, he came to the Lord, and he called me up one day, and he said, "Pastor Keith," he said, "I'm really struggling, I need you to come over here and meet with him." I went to his house, and I'm sitting there with him talking to him. He said, "Man, I'm doing really good. I'm growing here, and I'm growing here." He said, "But you know what?" He said, when I get to work, and he said, "I get around all those guys, and everybody's cussing and using all this stuff, telling all these." He said, "I just find myself using profane language." And he said, "I don't want to do it anymore." About that time, his little 3-year-old grandson comes running through the room and jumps up in Pawpaw's lap, and he's playing with him. "Hey, how you doing?" All that stuff. And then he runs out. And then I ask him a question. Holy Spirit just gave me a thought. I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." His name was Marlon. I said, "Marlon," I said, "do you ever cuss in front of your grandson?" He said, "Oh, no, never. I would never do that." I said, "Then guess what? You can control your cussing. If you can control it in front of your grandson, you can control it on your job, you can control it everywhere. All you got to do is take responsibility. Let no profane or foul language proceed out of your mouth. You are responsible, amen, for every word that comes out of our mouth." He goes on and says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." We are responsible for our attitude, our actions, our emotions, our decisions, and the words of our mouth. Amen? Let me give you the second way that you increase your authority. You take responsibility for your spiritual growth, your spiritual gifts, and the health of your church. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Peter said to add to your faith, giving all diligence. NLT says make every effort to add to your faith. You are responsible. We can go back if we will to that point. You are responsible for your spiritual growth. You're responsible for your spiritual gifts, and you're responsible for the health of your church. Let me give you this real quick. If you are not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's not the church's fault. You are responsible. Now, the church has a responsibility. We're going to talk about it in just a second. But you're responsible. You are responsible for your spiritual growth. Peter said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Again, NLT says, make every effort. I want to ask you a question. How much effort have you made this week to add to your faith? How much effort have you made this week to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How much effort have you made this week to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? See, I meet Christians all the time, Pastor Scott, that say, I would read my Bible, but I can't understand it. And you know what they just did? They just relinquished responsibility. Any of you guys go to college? Any college graduates in here? There we go. Anybody go to high school? Anybody think about school? I'm going to get every hand. All right, there we go. So, how many of you know that when you were in school, whether it was high school, whether it was college, there were some courses or some classes that you got into that class and you're like, I don't understand this at all. This makes no sense to me, right? But you knew, right? You knew that in order for you to graduate, you had to pass that class. So either you cheated, which I hope you didn't, or you took responsibility and said, you know what, I've got to figure out a way to learn what I've got to learn so I can pass the test because I want to graduate. Right? And that might have meant that you got in a study group. It might have meant that you hired a tutor. It might have meant that you stayed after class and did extra work. But you know what you did? You took responsibility. Because you took responsibility, you found a way to graduate. Why? Because when you took responsibility, God gave you authority. And you begin to walk in things you had never walked in before, and you begin to understand things you never understood before because you took responsibility. I want to encourage you today, do not relinquish your responsibility when it comes to your spiritual growth. See, I don't know if y'all have these in Michigan. We have these things in Alabama called church hoppers. They're kind of like grasshoppers, but they're a little bit bigger. And they just go from one church to another church. And when you talk to church hoppers, this is typically what they say. Well, you know what? I left that church because I wasn't being fed. Well, guess what? You are responsible for your spiritual growth. The Bible does not say, Pastor Scott, make sure you add to the faith of every person in your church every day and spoon feed them and bottle feed them until they grow up. No, there is a responsibility. Ephesians 4, we're going to read it in just a second. Pastor Scott has a responsibility. And it's to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry and to build up the church, the body of Christ. He has a responsibility to create a place where you can grow. But you have a responsibility to grow. Right? You're responsible for your spiritual growth. You're responsible for your spiritual gift. Paul said this, 2 Timothy, we can put it on the screen there. He said, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on my hands. So Paul told Timothy, there's a gift in you that was imparted by the laying on my hands. But guess what? Once you received it, now you're responsible for it. You got to stir it up. I remember when I received the gift of tongues and I started learning, I started praying in the Spirit and was baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was a Methodist pastor. And I remember I really struggled in that area of giftedness. And I would hear other pastors and leaders pray in the Spirit. And I'm like, man, that was awesome. I want to pray like that, God. And one day I was talking to the Lord about it. I said, God, I want to pray like that. And this is what the Lord said. He said, Keith, if you only prayed in English once a month, you would struggle praying in English. And if you only pray in the Spirit every now and then, you're going to struggle praying in the Spirit. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. And so the Lord told me that day, I want you to pray in the Spirit every day. So every day of my life, if it's just for a couple minutes, I pray in the Spirit. Why? Because I want to stir up the gift of God. When God called me to preach and God began to release His Word on the inside of me, man, I was preaching everywhere. I'd be mowing the grass preaching. I mean, grass was getting saved. It was amazing. I mean, poor old Kelly. I mean, before I ever started pastoring, I preached 1,000 sermons to her. Why? Because there was something God deposited in me, and I'm responsible for stirring it up. And you can't make an excuse, well, the church hadn't made a place for my gift. Use your gift in your family. Use your gift on your job. I want to tell you something. We need the gift of miracles and healing and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We need them not just in the church. You need it on your job. You want to see that lost guy that you've been trying to save, get saved for the last 5 years, come to the Lord? Give him a word of knowledge. Read his mail by the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden he'll say, man, God's in you. And he'll start paying attention. But you know what you got to do? You got to stir it up. You're responsible. You're responsible for the health of your church. Ephesians 4 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And their responsibility, here's Pastor Scott and the leaders of this church's responsibility, is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So they are responsible to equip the church. They are to create a place where you can be equipped. Right? How many of you ever, anybody serve in the military? There we go. Praise God. Thank you, gentlemen. How many know that when you went, that they when they gave you your weapons, right? They equipped you, but you had to learn how to shoot the gun. See, the Army's role was to equip you, and then they would train you, but at the end of the day, you were responsible as to whether you were going to handle that weapon appropriately or use it in a way that was going to help bring life and freedom to other people. The church's job is to equip you and to build up the church, to create a place where you can grow, but you're responsible. Now look at this next verse, verse 16. It says in Jesus, Jesus is the He here. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. When each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. You have to take responsibility for the health and well-being of your church. See, because it's only when every part does its own special work that the church grows. It's not just about Pastor Scott and Don doing their part. It's not just about the leadership of the church doing their part. It's not just about the praise team doing their part or the media team doing their part. It's about every part of the body doing their own special work. When you find your place and do your part, it causes the body to grow. And you've got to be responsible for that. You've got to say, you know what? I am responsible for the health and the well-being of our church. And I'm not going to blame or shift responsibility to other people and say, well, it's their responsibility. No, it's your responsibility. Because this is your church. Last point, and we're going to wrap up and close. And Pastor Scott, thank you. I took a couple extra minutes. I apologize. The last point, take responsibility for the relationships in your life. If you're married, you have biblical responsibilities. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit your husbands unto the Lord. You have a responsibility. If you have children, if you're a child, children, obey your parents. Fathers, train up your children the way they should go. Right? Raise your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We all have responsibilities. This is what I found out. Our relationships are suffering because we don't take responsibility for them. Men want their wives to submit, but they don't want to love. Wives want their husbands to love, but they don't want to submit. Right? Parents want their children to obey, but they don't want to lead and train. And all of a sudden, we shift all this responsibility. And because of that, there's chaos in our homes. There's chaos in our families. There's no authority. There's no order. There's no blessing there. Why? Because as long as I shift responsibility, I lose my authority. But the moment I start taking responsibility, I'm not waiting on my wife to do what she's supposed to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. She's going to do what God's called her to do. And if I do that and if she does that, we both take authority over our marriage and it brings the life of God and blessing of God there. If we do what we're supposed to do as parents, then we can know that that's going to produce something in our children that's going to enable them to do what they're supposed to do. There's a great little scripture. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he who has friends must show himself friendly. How many of you have friends? Well, if you have friends or would like one, you have a responsibility, right? You have a responsibility. He who has friends must show himself friendly. I have people come up to me. We have a larger church, about 400 or 500 people, and I have people come up to me sometimes. I'll say, Pastor Keith, I just hadn't made any friends. Well, you know why they haven't made any friends? They're not friendly. They're not friendly. They come sit in the back row of the church. As soon as church is over, they run out the back door. And then they do that for 6 months and say, well, that's not a friendly church. Well, of course it's not a friendly church. Nobody can even catch you. Right? I mean, we're hiring sprinters to try to get you before you get out the back door. Every relationship you're in has responsibility. How many of you are employees, work for a company or for somebody else? How many of you own your own business or you're the employer? If you are an employee or if you are an employer, the Bible says this. It says that servants, modern word would be employees, ought to serve their masters with fear and trembling as unto the Lord and not unto men. You have a responsibility to work for your employer like you're working for God. Don't wait for your employer to treat you the way you want to be treated to work like you're working for God. You have a responsibility to work like you're working for God now. And when you take responsibility for doing that, you know what will happen? God will give you authority. See, I found out the people that gripe about not getting promoted are the people that want to go to work and don't do their job and then get mad when somebody else who does do their job gets a promotion. Take responsibility. If you're the employee, the Bible says you ought to treat your servants the same way with fear and respect, knowing that you too have a master in heaven and that you're going to give an account to him. So don't speak harshly or cruel toward those who work for you. So if you're an employee or if you're an employer, there are responsibilities. And guess what happens? When you take responsibility, God gives you authority. Here's the final question. We're going to wrap up with this. Very last point. In what area of your life do you need greater authority? In what area of your life do you need greater authority? Because it is that area of your life that you need greater authority that you and I need to take responsibility. Amen? I want to just pray with you and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Scott. Father, I thank you today for this church. I thank you for a great assembly of believers. And I pray today, God, beginning with me, God, that You would reveal to us, Lord, any area in our life, God, where we have relinquished or forfeited authority. God, any area that we have stepped away or shifted blame when it comes to taking responsibility in our lives. Lord, our personal life, our spiritual life, our relational life. God, Lord, today in the name of Jesus, I pray that we would take responsibility. That we would step up to the plate and we would fully embrace what You have given us. And Lord, I thank You today that as we embrace responsibility, You increase our authority and empower us to walk in victory. So God, today we humble ourselves before You. We submit our lives completely to You. And we ask Your favor and grace over us in all that we do today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Scott.